At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
It's playoff time, and you know what that means, big stakes and even bigger promotions. Every day of the basketball playoffs, DraftKings will have $20,000 in total prizes up for grabs. Want to know the best part? It's free to get your shot at these daily cash prizes. DraftKings will be offering two free-to-play pools every day of the NBA playoffs, offering players a free shot at $20,000 in total prizes. DraftKings' free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to Pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during that day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at $20,000 in total prizes every day of the basketball playoffs. That's promo code THPN for a limited time, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
This is the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk on every team in the NHL.
This is the Broadway Boys Podcast through the Hockey Podcast Network, and we are back with Season 2, Episode 49, or at least I believe it's Episode 49, and it's me, James, doing another solo pod as Andy is enjoying his time upstate over Memorial Day weekend. So happy Memorial Day to everyone out there listening. It is currently just all rain. It's the wettest Memorial Day I can't even recall a Memorial Day weekend in which it rained more, because I don't think it would be possible. It hasn't stopped. It literally was like Friday night through right now, just torrential downpour. So, the trees and the plants and stuff are loving it, but it's absolutely miserable. I just got back from a wedding in Rhode Island and just sat in 5.5 hours of traffic both ways there, just for the night. So that wasn't ideal. So looking at my phone all night, I didn't get a chance to actually watch any of the games last night, but holy shit, man. Montreal, Toronto, going to a game 7. If Toronto doesn't win this game, I don't even know what the city is going to do. It's going to burn down. I mean, having a 3-1 series lead, Montreal plays a great home game. They get back into this series, and it was a win in which, you know, Montreal kind of crawled over the finish line there. They were up early, big. Toronto came back, and they won in overtime. You know, it happens. But, you know, it's one of those things where, actually, you know what? That game was on the road, because that was game 5, I believe. I'm like so backwards right now, hungover. Chugging water right now. So last night was the Canadiens home game, 3-2 in overtime. I gotta even see how this came out, because the game 4 that was just explaining. I mean, that was a wild game, but what can you do? I mean, the Canadiens, you know, they came out with a big lead, and I told you, you know, the Maple Leafs. I said this earlier. If the Maple Leafs can't score out of their problems, then, you know, they're going to be in trouble, because in the playoffs, teams, you know, things get tight and teams collapse and they don't give you the grade A scoring chances. And I know, you know, the Maple Leafs are, you know, dynamic with their offense and their scoring ability, but sometimes the well runs dry and you got to have a plan B. And it seems like the Maple Leafs, you know, if they can't outscore their problems, it falls apart. And what a wild game. 2-2 in the third. 0-0 after first and second. That was unbelievable. I can't believe I missed that game. But, and they came back again and got it into overtime. Oh, my God. So the Maple Leafs are really kind of just, battling back in regulation. And then, once again, the Canadians get it done in overtime. Pretty impressive. I can't wait for that game seven. I really hate the scheduling, though, because I think I was talking to Andy about this. Like, if you're gambling and you want to put out a gambling blog, it's absolutely insane. You're talking about round one and then series of round two, and Boston Islanders are gonna have their game two at the same time. Montreal and Toronto have their round one game seven. It's a mess right now. But I did another blog, basically posting, what I think is gonna happen in the second round. So with everything going on right now, with Boston, New York, you got Carolina and Tampa, and right now it's Vegas and Colorado, which is to no surprise. I know I took the Blues over Colorado, but that was just more of me, picking off based off the line and rather than picking the team who I think is going to win. So I guess I'll get into that. We'll start in the West Coast with the juggernauts. We have the Vegas Golden Knights versus the Colorado Avalanche. Now, these two teams, I mean, it's no surprise that they're meeting in the playoffs. I think everyone was expecting this. I'm just shocked to see where the two teams are at, because I thought Vegas was going to have no problem with Minnesota. Minnesota took them to Game 7, and I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. And looking at where Colorado's coming from, a clean sweep where they weren't tested at all, I'm a little bit more worried about Colorado coming off the sweep than I am Vegas having to go seven with Minnesota for a couple of reasons. Number one, I always love a team that's battle tested. I think anyone who watches the NHL playoffs knows that, there are tough matchups and there's tough series, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you're going to be dragging ass the next round. I think teams that are battle tested, teams that had to work for their work for their victories, end up coming out on top. And looking at the line for the Vegas Golden Knights in Colorado, I was a little shocked. I thought it was going to be more even, but it was Colorado at minus 200 and the Vegas Golden Knights at plus 160. So for anyone that doesn't know anything about gambling, it would take $200 to win 100 betting on Colorado. It would take $100 to win $160 if you bet on the Golden Knights, and that's for the series. So I'm taking the Golden Knights. I know it's another dog up against Colorado, but I think this isn't a Hail Mary toss here when I chose the Blues. This is like a real deal matchup. I would imagine this goes six, seven games. I like Vegas for two reasons. I just think after that rough and tough series that they had, I think they'll be ready to play defense. I think this is a series they probably had marked on their calendars from the very beginning. And, Colorado, for me, they score in bunches, which is great, but they kind of remind me of the Penguins, where I don't know what their plan B is if things go to hell and things get tight, but they are just so good at outscoring their opponents that, I wouldn't be shocked if Colorado then beats up on Vegas. But, looking at it, being realistic about this series, I think a tighter, low-scoring series is exactly what Vegas needs. They have the goaltender to do it. Fleury is just an unbelievable, playoff goaltender. He's, I can't believe Pittsburgh let him go. And obviously, if you look at what Pittsburgh needed last round, man, oh man, they sure needed goaltending. So, yeah, I'm leaning Vegas Golden Knights at plus 160. I never thought I'd get an elite team like that at plus 160, but I guess if you're facing the Colorado Avalanche, who are clearly the favorite to win the Stanley Cup right now, I'll take that line all day, every day. So my pick, Vegas Golden Knights at plus 160 over the Colorado Avalanche, who are at minus 200. A little steep in my opinion. Then we are going to be moving to the South, or, I guess they're the South. The Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Carolina Hurricanes. Another series where I was shocked that both teams and their ability not to close the other their opponents out. So you had Carolina face off against the Nashville Predators. That went six games, and the Tampa Bay Lightning took the Florida Panthers, took them six games to, you know, wrap up that series. Both, I thought, would almost have sweeps, if not a gentleman sweep in five, but they didn't. You know, looking at Tampa Bay, I know they might have the injury bug, which might hurt them, you know, but everything else seems to be in order. And I don't know if that was a tougher Florida Panthers opponent than they thought. But, you know, overall, I was, again, I never believed in the Florida Panthers. I guess going six games with them is not the craziest thing in the world. But, you know, Tampa Bay was clearly the better team, and I thought they let them hang around a little bit too long. So a little worried about the Tampa Bay Lightning going into this series because I think it's going to be a little bit different. Carolina, I don't even know what to say with Carolina because analytically, they absolutely demolished the Nashville Predators. It should not have gone six games. It should have gone four, if not three. They should have honestly made Nashville just go home after three games. Like, that's how lopsided this series was. But you let these teams hang around, and I don't know if it's a look-ahead match, knowing that they would be able to win, you know, and advance to the next round with, you know, a little bit, you know, ease. But that, you know, that's concerning to me. I mean, the Nashville Predators are much worse than the Florida Panthers. And, you know, I don't like to go series to series, but Nashville was the worst team in the playoffs, in my opinion. And Carolina struggled with them at times. And that's definitely concerning for me when gambling. So, you know, I took the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're at minus one. I don't even have the lines up anymore. Hold on one second. The lines here were pretty fair. I thought they were, you know, like spot on. Here we go. Tampa Bay Lightning were minus 134. So again, if you would have to bet $134 to win 100, and the Carolina Hurricanes were plus 110. So it would be $100 to win 110. Carolina being pretty much even money kind of makes sense. Tampa Bay Lightning, I mean, minus 134, I think is fair. I think you didn't see the utter dominance that I thought you'd see with the Tampa Bay Lightning around one, but, you know, they showed that they were good enough, and they put a, you know, decent Florida Panther team away, and you know, I kind of like them to kind of roll into that. You know, basically, I expect this series almost to go the same way as the Tampa Florida did, where, you know, Carolina wins a couple games and the Lightning, you know, finish them off. I expected more out of Carolina. I actually have them winning the Stanley Cup or going to the Stanley Cup Finals. Them losing to Vegas in the NHL. I don't even know what you call that. It was like the bracket challenge. Struggling here. But the, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes, again, I just expected more. Hopefully they switch it up another gear. They're going to need it if they're going to beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa's very good, and they can figure it out, and they know how to win. So, again, if the Hurricanes don't switch it into a different gear, this is going to be Tampa's series to have, and, you know, they will be going on to face off against the next series that I'll be talking about, which is the Boston Bruins versus the New York Islanders. For me, I think the line says it all. The New York Islanders got lucky that they faced off against a really bad goaltender. And I took the Islanders last round. I believed in them. But they didn't show me shit. I mean, they should not even be in this round. If not for goaltending from the Pittsburgh Penguins, that series would have been over a long time ago. And, you know, looking and talking about this series right now after game one and Boston winning 5-2, that's exactly how I think the rest of the series is going to go. I wouldn't be surprised if this goes four or a gentleman sweep at five. It's just, you know, Boston right now, they're clicking on all cylinders. They found their game. The Taylor Hall trade looks better every single game. Just adds so much depth and you know, they can come at you from so many different angles. a little worried about their collective defense, you know, when they go on and face either Tampa or Carolina, and then eventually Vegas or Colorado. Them and Colorado would be a really, really interesting matchup. Just I would like the overs in every single one of those games, and I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but you know, looking at the New York Islanders right now, man, they have no plan B. It's they need to win the game 2-1, 1-0, and hold on to an early lead if they get it. But if they don't get it, man, it's over, and it's over early. And you just saw it with Pittsburgh that this team really needs to bring in another punch. You know, there's got to be, with Barzal, there's got to be two lines that can put the puck in the net consistently. I think their fourth line, you know, is great during the regular season, but are they dated? You know, they could be a little dated here. You know, do they need to add, you know, a little bit more of a dynamic fourth line, like a different role player? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't really care because it's the Islanders. I'm a Rangers fan. So for me, I like the Boston Bruins. I want them to win. I think they are going to win. I took them even at the steep price of minus 225. The Islanders were plus 178. So again, it would take me $225 to win 100 against the New York Islanders, who were plus 178. So you bet $100 to win $178. I know I don't like steep lines, but I really do believe in the Boston Bruins this much. I'll take the 225 and I'll risk that every day of the week with this team. I just think that they have so many threats, so many scoring threats, and just the team right now that's clicking and running on all cylinders. What they did with the Washington Capitals was impressive. They caught my attention. Again, I took the Washington Capitals that series, so again, I was really thrown back to see how good Boston was in the playoffs, and I think they'll continue to roll right through the Islanders. Islanders might get lucky, win one game at home. So I'll say Boston Bruins in five. It's already 1-0.
Hey, hockey fans, I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray. We host the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
We're lifelong hockey fans who talk about the game and the lifestyle. Our guests include professional hockey players.
My rookie party had to wear Speedo, and then we had a checklist of stuff we had to do.
Here we go, Gaber. What do you got to say? And it's kind of like, you know better than that now, boys.
I got dressed for the Bruins. Get a phone call. And he's like, dude, we need you over here by the elevator. You got to get downstairs. You got to get dressed right now.
Started playing the like, dun, 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 dun. And I turned it around and it had the Olympic rings and said, we did it.
NHL team hockey reporters.
I actually took the Stanley Cup to this ice bar where they've got now girls around them and I've got a fur coat on.
I wonder who he should have checked over here. And then I looked down at my feet.
Hockey fans.
The entire bar was lined with guys in Kings jerseys. We quickly realized, oh my gosh, this is the dad's trip.
And we bring unique hockey stories to light.
Coming back to England, 24 rinks in the entire country. That's where the problem starts with the sport of ice hockey here.
Canadian Blind Hockey Association, those few kids we interviewed, their whole week is built around Sunday at the rink. They're just hockey players.
We don't agree on everything.
Pineapple goes on pizza.
No, it does not.
I think it does.
Well, we do agree that there are many people and places that build the House of Hockey.
New episodes every Tuesday. Come on in to the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
Looking at the North Division, looking at the Winnipeg Jets, who have already advanced a clean sweep against the Edmonton Oilers. I think that obviously they fare better against Montreal because Montreal just doesn't have as many pieces as Toronto does. But again, if hot goaltender Hellebuck can shut down the scoring and limit their chances of the Toronto Maple Leafs, they got a shot. I mean, they did it against Connor McDavid and the Oilers. They could do it against Toronto. I don't think that's out of the question. Montreal, though, again, a pesky team that, you know, grinds out their wins, definitely has their faults. They have weaknesses for sure. And I think the Jets, could potentially win. I wouldn't be worried if either Toronto or, you know, the Habs win. I think the Jets are in a really good spot. I would lean Toronto, obviously, for obvious reasons against the Jets, but I got to look at that line and see how it comes out. Again, if the Jets are plus 150 or higher, I'm probably going to take them. It's just not worth it with Toronto and these crazy lines, you know. Right now, if you took Toronto, they were heavy, heavy favorites. I took Montreal. It's not worth it, you know. These teams, people get enamored with the incredible offense and you know, their scoring abilities during the regular season. Playoffs are a different game. And obviously Colorado showed you how much of a beast they are on offense. But, you know, is it really worth spending all that money? And what are you going to get with Toronto? You know, Colorado, you can make the case. Boston, you can make the case. But any other team besides those two right now in the playoffs, they worry me. And I would not want to face the Jets right now. They're feeling themselves. They can play shutdown hockey. They can, you know, score enough goals to get by. And most importantly, they have a goaltender that, when he's hot, he's, you know, one of the best in the game. And he just seems to be one of the top goaltenders year in and year out. And he's part of that success. Another shocker is Neil Pionk is just like a fucking stud up in Winnipeg now. He was, I think, part of the Kevin Hayes trade around that time. But he was a solid defenseman with the Rangers. But good for him, you know, finding his, you know, his role and his career right now with Winnipeg. It's off the charts right now. And I'm pulling for him. I like Winnipeg. I like the whiteout that they do. I think it's pretty cool. It's pretty much all I got from them. I don't have a line or anything, but like I said, if it's 150 or above, I'd probably take the Jets, regardless if they're playing Montreal or Toronto. I'd love to see the line, though, with Montreal. It's probably almost dead even at that point. Toronto would be, again, probably heavy favorites. They just fucking love Toronto. I can't stand them. I hope they lose. That was a big You tried to limit them. Oh, geez. Them sounds like them now. I wrote a blog the other day about Connor McDavid and how it really affects all hockey fans that he's stuck in Edmonton. And, you know, I kind of got some comments back that I agreed with, but they thought they were like almost like critical of my article, but I don't think people understood it. So in my blog, I wrote that, you know, I think all of us as hockey fans lose out when Connor McDavid gets ousted in the first round of the playoffs. And I know he's playing for an organization that has been a shit show, that has not built a team around him. And I know there's people out there that believe that, that you can't give two of your players that much percentage of the cap and expect to win. I would make the argument that Chicago was able to do it with Kane and Taze. I mean, teams figure it out. Good players figure it out. I think it has more to do with the organization than I do of it being a percentage of cap that, you know, Draisaitl and Connor McDavid make too much, so you can't build depth. I think that's false. I mean, they haven't even, you know, their draft capital has sucked, or their what they've gotten out of the draft over the last 10 years has pretty much sucked. They get nothing in the secondary rounds. I mean, they hit big with McDavid and Draisaitl, but those, you know, those were two, you know, first rounders that were no brainers. You know, championships are won in the third, fourth, fifth round. You got to find these guys, and if you can't find them, you got to be able to bring them in, and they haven't done either. And it's great in the regular season when you get, again, you can outscore your problems. But things change in the playoffs, you know. Connor McDavid's not going to, you know, either draw the penalty or, you know, he's going to be played a little bit more physical and there's going to be a little bit more clutching and grabbing and slows everything down. And when you slow down the only aspect of your hockey team that's a positive, you're not going to win many hockey games. And they were not able to get the job done against the Jets. I mean, it was a pathetic four games where they just collapsed and they did nothing. You know, looking at the situation, though, a few people came at me and said, well, All-Stars also need to play out west. I don't even know what that means. I agree with you. I don't give a shit where Connor McDavid actually plays. I'm just saying that the fact that he's playing in Edmonton right now is hurting, number one, his career, and number two, the fan experience. You don't think the game would be more popular if you had fucking Connor McDavid versus Alexander Ovechkin in the Stanley Cup Finals, or, you know, the Boston Bruins versus, you know, the Edmonton Oilers with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, and then you have Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak on Boston? You don't think that narrative would be huge in the hockey world? It's crazy, and it sucks that he's stuck in an organization that has done absolutely nothing to help him. You know, it sucks. And I'm not saying that he needs to come play in New York or play on the East Coast to be recognized as a great player and people to watch him and grow the game. I'm just saying, when it comes to the playoffs, he should be fighting for a Stanley Cup. He should not be one and done every single... He won one playoff round, and that's another thing, too. That playoff win was so unmemorable. I don't even know if that's a word, but I just used it right now. That was so unmemorable that they beat the Sharks in 2017. Like, okay, I forgot. Who gives a shit? It proves my point that Connor McDavid is nothing in the playoffs. Like, there's nothing. There's no highlight reel. There's nothing. He's done nothing in the playoffs. And that's not a Connor McDavid problem. It's an NHL problem. It's an Edmonton Oiler problem. They need to figure it out or he's going to be gone. And I'm not saying he needs to come to the East Coast. That's not what I'm saying. Because the same shit is happening with Eichel and Buffalo. East Coast team, same situation, except Buffalo might be a little worse because they're not even making the playoffs. They're like dead last in the league. Eichel, he's going to be gone. And I don't care if he goes to plays for the fucking Sharks, the Anaheim Ducks, or the LA Kings. I don't care. He can go play for the West Coast. But he needs to be fighting for a Stanley Cup every year. And I know you're probably saying, well, James, only like two teams can get to go to the Cup Finals. I know, but there's no reason why, you know, like, you can't eventually build a team to get to the Stanley Cup Finals when you have fucking McDavid and Draisaitl, or if you have fucking Jack Eichel and, you know, Dahlin. Like, there's no reason that you can't keep building these organizations to eventually compete for Stanley Cups. You know, they got to be able to, like, Connor McDavid, he's the best player in the world. He should be winning playoff rounds every single year. Like, it should be a no-brainer. And this is why, like, you know, basketball, you know, LeBron James, you know, is going to be, like, going to the NBA Finals every year. You know, he's the best player in the world. Connor McDavid, I'm not saying that he should, you know, be in a Stanley Cup Final every year, but he should be winning rounds. He should win a round almost every year. You know, it's a shame that he's not. And it's hurting the product. It hurts, you know, it hurts the person who wants to try to grow the game, because, you know, it's an easy sell. You know, when you have the two of the best players going up against each other, it's an easy sell. It's an easy marketing scheme. It's a easy write-up. It's an easy blog. It's just, you know, the story just writes itself. You don't have to make up anything. And, you know, it's a shame. It's a shame. And, you know, looking at the choices that a player like Eichel and McDavid have is like, they have to leave. And it's a shame. It really is. Like, what else is going to change in Edmonton? I mean, are you rebuilding again this year? Like, you're going and fighting with the same fucking pieces year in and year out. It's not like the team's getting better. It's like, well, James, you made it to the playoffs. It's like, right. You can throw fucking Connor McDavid on any team in the NHL. They're making the playoffs because he can do that type of shit in the regular season. He can't do it in the playoffs. And that's why he gets, you know, ousted either in the first round or in 2017, he wins a fucking round against the Sharks. Great. Great. I'm glad that I was judged on that part of the article. Man, my voice is, it's going. But let's look at tonight's games. Right now, we have the Tampa Bay and Carolina. They're going on right now. And then we got the juggernauts, Vegas and Colorado. Again, you know, to kind of circle back around to, you know, the gambling aspect, you know, I can't remember so many overtime games in the playoffs. It's just crazy. And maybe because it was the bubble last year and I was just so appreciative of having hockey back that I didn't really look at that aspect. But man, oh man. I mean, Carolina and Nashville, they went to like four consecutive overtime games, I think. It was either three or four. Like, that's incredible. That's like, you know, I hate the term free hockey, but I mean, it really is. I mean, there's nothing better than overtime hockey in the playoffs. There's just nothing better. And the fact that so many of these games have been going to overtime, just nail biters, has been awesome. Now the second round matchups, all of these matchups are awesome. I think the weakest one will be the Islanders-Boston, only because I think Boston will wipe the floor with New York. But the North Division, when that gets settled, round two is going to be awesome. Tampa Bay-Carolina, obviously the two juggernauts from the South. You know, that's going to be an awesome matchup. And of course, I think everyone that's a hockey fan knew this series was coming. 8 p.m. Eastern time, Vegas Golden Knights versus the Colorado Avalanche. This is going to be, I think, the team, whoever comes out of this series will be in the Stanley Cup. So definitely have to have your eyes glued to the TV for that one. It's going to be a great matchup. So that's all I have for you. I went 27 minutes and 35 seconds talking a little gambling, a little playoff preview. I got no Rangers news. Eventually, I hope they name a head coach soon. I'm not really sure what the odds have changed with that, but I still think Gallant is still the favorite. So we'll see. No news is good news, I guess, for the New York Rangers right now. And next week, I'll be back with Andy, and we'll be discussing probably more NHL playoffs, and if there's any little news with the Rangers in terms of, you know, signing or draft hype, and you know, the draft is right around the corner. The draft lottery is right around the corner. The draft is not till after. So. And the lottery, I mean, geez, the Rangers, lotto luck, who knows? Maybe we'll be drafting first overall. I don't even know if that's possible anymore. I don't even know if the rules changed. Andy will probably have that all that information for you. But everyone, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. I guess at this point it's over, so sorry, enjoy work. If this is Tuesday morning for you. All right, bye.
Thank you for listening to the Broadway Boys Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Broadway Boys Pod, and please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, or thehockeypodcastnetwork.com.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. New episodes every Monday and Thursday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.